all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly high. We were born to fly, and so was I. I ask myself, what will I come to be? I have a choice now, so I guess it's up to me. Maybe I will make a difference in this world. Maybe I will teach another boy or another girl how to fly. Teach them all that they were born to fly.
Aloha! I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk, Paradise, and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are toll-free, USA, 877-270-8714, Canada, 888-861-3519, and our direct lines are same area code 530-876-3223 or 413-4515. Welcome to each of you this evening, and I am absolutely thrilled about our show tonight. It is indeed one of the most powerful shows I feel I have done for this entire year. So I invite each of you to pull up, get something to write with, and a notepad, because you're not going to want to miss any of this valuable information that our guest tonight will be sharing with all of you. And there is a thought that I would like to share with each and every one of you this evening before I share this wonderful background of our guests for this evening, and it starts this way. The external world is the world of effects, not cause. We are the cause. When we change over our own perception and thoughts and visions, we can change the effects. Stop trying to change the effects. Change your consciousness and you change. What a profound, profound statement to make. And as we unfold this show this evening, for each of you this evening, it will definitely speak for itself. Now, our guest for this evening comes to all of us this tonight, all the way from Australia, and her name is Fiona Taylor. And she is an Olympic winner of 7 world titles in the sport of windsurfing. An author, Fiona Taylor knows what it takes to win, set, and achieve goals, inspiring individuals and teams. Fiona is a high-performance coach with expertise in understanding human behavior and transforming the consciousness. She is also the founder of Baraka and Braveheart Leadership, Mystic 1992 Olympic and former world champion world windsurfer. Her coaching and programs are profound and found in the physics of consciousness, complexity theory, emotional intelligence, and spiritual intelligence. Her programs and coaching not only provides the theory, but the practical how-to achieve real growth and transformation. So without further delay, please, let's all give our guest, Fiona Taylor, a warm welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be on the show.
Are you listening, Fiona?
Yeah. Hello from down under.
Hi, and welcome to the show. It is an honor to have Australia with us this evening.
Well, it's good to speak to a Hawaiian. Aloha.
Aloha to you, too, and mahalo. I am absolutely just blown away with you. And, you know, I spent some real quality time really reading about your perspective on taking our power back, the ability to dream, time for stillness. And, you know, I have to say, Fiona, as I continued reading, I have never sat and highlighted and took so many notes as I did with you because, wow, do you really know your stuff, young lady? So I'd like to, first of all, ask you, how did you realize by accepting and fully embracing the power within us? Was it through your involvement with sports and working with a team?
If we look at the theme of taking your power back or standing in your power, and I can simplify it, it's about being who you truly are rather than who you think you should be. And if I look, you know, on my website, there's many articles I've written and other radio interviews and things. So, but what I've said to some other radio hosts in America recently has been that I was driven as a teenager with a love for windsurfing. I loved being on the ocean. I loved being with the wind. I loved being with the water. And I had this dream to go to the Olympics in 1992, and I had this natural talent. And I just followed my dream. I just followed my heart. And, I mean, it was a no-brainer for me in that I just followed my passion and I followed my joy. And we hear that statement all the time, over and over again, follow your bliss, just follow your bliss. And yet very few people really actually accept that as the key to the doorway of who we are, because, you know, we have all our parental, societal programming of, you know, you're no good at this, you can't do this, and all these limiting beliefs that many people have, and we take those on board, and they carry us through our whole life until we stop and say, hold on a minute, you know, I'm not a limiting belief, I'm me, and who am I? So some of us really know who we are, and a soul-driven, I say, from a young age. And then some of us have to find that, find our magic throughout trial and error, throughout our lives. So I had that magic early on and was very connected to that and was just myself. And then it was in my early 20s I had some chaos and some injuries and some accidents and some illness and so forth. And that then threw me off track a little bit. And then I disconnected from my flow and disconnected from my magic. And that's when I went on the journey of reading and researching everything I could find on the mind, psychology, consciousness, and so forth. And it led me on a big journey. So, it's about being who we truly are.
I agree with you. And, you know, and it's really interesting because I find even for myself, you know, I'm always encouraging the listeners. And I have been since I've been on the radio, and it's always important to listen to your own words. But, you know, getting back to your wonderful writing here, it's really interesting because, and let me just share this with our listeners this evening. You say here, it is time for each of us as conscious co-creators to take responsibility. This means that we must become mindful of every thought, word, and action we take. Every choice we make, we must become aware that we set in course future potentials and create our realities. I'd like to hear your thoughts, because even that in itself is profound.
I woke up to multidimensionality and the concept of multidimensionality in the last 7 to 8 years from personal experiences. So, and because I work closely with the archangels, Archangel Michael is always talking to me and reminding me, Fiona, be mindful of what you're thinking about and what your words, what you are saying. And so I'm always very diligent around that. I'm not saying, you know, because we all think, and this is something I said to a client recently who was getting paranoid about every single thought that floated in and out of their own awareness. Now, that's impossible to control, every single thought that flows in and out of our awareness all the time, because we are connected to this gigantic, you know, universe, like a large computer, so that thoughts will float in and out of our awareness. But if we have ongoing thoughts and ongoing feelings of self-sabotage or self-defeating behavior or negative behavior, then you need to look at which part of you is creating that and which part of you needs to be healed or attended to and so forth. And then be mindful of what intention you're setting in every moment, because we're in this universe we live in is a 12 parallel reality universes, so there's 12 parallel realities, so there's 12 Fionas, there's 12 Leilanis, and there's always a 12 future potentials in any moment as we live in this reality. Now, it's difficult to understand that looking from a third-dimensional physical perspective. So all I can really say is that connect with your dream, what brings you joy, and try and connect to that each day, and be mindful of what you're telling yourself. I'm fat, I'm hopeless, I'm, you know, et cetera, all those things. So it's not about denying how you feel, but it is being mindful of what you are focusing on. So, for example, if we're all focusing on watching the negative television every night and, you know, more bombing in Iraq and all the dramas and more pain, and the more we focus on that and the more we focus on doom and gloom scenarios, then we're only paying attention to that. If we ignore that, turn the television off and start trying to focus in our own mind on a better future or a more ideal reality and imagine that more light workers will come out, more people in Congress will come out and change the way that the governments work around the world, and more people will stand up for freedom and peace on the planet. And if we just stay focused on that within our own reality, then we can contribute to the greater reality and the collective consciousness on the planet. So
well,
every time we turn the television on and buy into all that, we're contributing to that. Simply by
focusing on that. I apologize, Fiona. I apologize for interjecting like this. You know.
No, that's fine. Please interject.
You know, it's really interesting because one of the words that just keeps popping out for me in the statement that I shared with all the listeners tonight was the word responsibility.
Yeah.
I'd really like to hear your thoughts on that and what the angels have shared with you in responsibility. What does that look like for us as individuals and to our world as a whole?
Well, that's an interesting one because it's something that I really grappled with for a long time. You know, when you're first learning metaphysics or taking responsibility for yourself, you learn that your own consciousness, whether it be your conscious or subconscious, creates your reality. And so when you create pain or trauma or drama in your life, you think, well, there's no way I would have chosen to create that. And then you go further and then you understand that if you look at it from the perspective of being a soul who's incarnate and physical form. You'd make soul contracts before you come in. You have certain things that you need to achieve or you agree to achieve or experience in this life to learn spiritual lessons. And by that, all lessons are about finding your way back to divine love, unconditional love for self and others. Even beyond forgiveness, if things that trauma happens to you. So sometimes people say, well, you know, why would someone incarnate as one of those poor Iraqis who just had their husband blown up and their house blown to bits? And, you know, the spiritual teachings would say, well, that soul chose to experience such. So from that perspective, it's a paradigm shift for many people to think. But when you connect with your soul self, you actually connect with this inner knowingness that you can cope with whatever comes your way and you understand your inner journey. So in terms of taking responsibility, you know, we cause or allow something into our reality, either knowingly or unknowingly. So from taking a position of taking responsibility for something, it's like, okay, I've allowed this into my reality or I've caused it to come in. Let's work from that standpoint and find my way out of it situation. And that's what responsibility is. And then the other thing is responsibility for what you say and what you think. Because say you think negative thoughts about somebody all the time, for example, you know, one of your friends or family members or somebody, you can't stand them and you're thinking horrible things about them, or I wish they'd just break their leg, or da-da, you know, if people are vindictive or angry. Those thoughts are going out into the ethers, straight to that person's higher self all the time. And if someone is vibrationally sensitive, they can actually feel your thoughts anyway. And so as we're all waking up and becoming more vibrationally sensitive, we all have to be mindful of our thoughts. Because when you are that tuned in, you know if someone doesn't like you, or you know if somebody is sending you, you know, bad vibes, so to speak, through the ethers when you become very sensitive. And so everything is transparent at the unseen level, if that makes sense. You can't hide anything at the unseen level.
Yes. You know, it's really interesting. For those who have just tuned in, we have a wonderful, our guest this evening, Fiona Taylor, all the way from Australia. And we are discussing this evening is taking back your power. And I'd like to share this, if I may, with all the listeners as well. And you say here, all thoughts we ever have reflect our own state of being. Any feelings of anger, jealousy, manipulation, or judgment reflects that state. What we feel for others is a reflection of self. And what we think of others is a reflection of self. What we judge in others is a reflection of self. I'd love for you to expound on that statement as well.
Okay, now, this is really key. Let's put it into three little bite-sized bits, if I say. Now, in the third dimension, which we're all in right now, we're in physical bodies, the physical world, and we see everything as material matter, and that's all we think there is, okay? Now, at the highest level of beingness, as a spiritual divine being, we are connected to all that is oneness. We hear this all the time in spiritual teachings. We're one. We are all one. So that is a huge jump to go from, I'm an individual separate person here in this physical body, to, hold on a minute, we're all one. So at the highest level, we are all one, okay? And therefore, what we think and feel about other people at the highest level is a reflection of ourselves. So what happens is you heal all those aspects of self that are in judgment of other people and work out which part of you that reflects somewhere. And then you get to a point where you wake up and you realize that you are an eternal soul having a human physical experience. And you also have an eternal soul character, for example, who's had many journeys in many different forms throughout, you know, this universe or many. And so you actually do have an eternal soul character or personality, if you call it. And you can stay as that character or be, you are that character fundamentally as an individual soul, I am aspect. Then if you merge that self, yourself, with the whole oneness, then you become one with divine love. And that is what many people can feel and access whilst in physical form on the planet. It's like divine bliss. You're in a state of divine bliss and oneness. There is no sense of separation. So that is the highest state of beingness that we can achieve. And then we have our physical self. But we also have an eternal soul character as well, which I talk about, because when you wake up to your own higher aspect of self, who you truly are before you came into this physical body, you understand that you actually do have a character and you do have a bit of a, you have a personality. You are a divine, eternal being. And so you start to learn about yourself and where some of your character traits come from and whether or not they're limiting you or holding you back. And then you look at your life, and every time you're judging somebody as, you know, being manipulative, you can go and look at yourself and say, well, where am I manipulative? And if you've healed that aspect, then you look at those people and accept that they're that way, but you're not judging them any longer. So you're not in a mindset of judging others for being good or bad. You tend to go beyond that mindset of good and bad, right and wrong.
I love that, Fiona. Wow. And, you know, it's really interesting because just recently, it was late last week, matter of fact, we were all discussing about judgment and what that looked like. How did it show up in our lives? And, you know, in all the different levels and ways and creative ways that we judge, not only judge others, but judge ourselves as well. And I'm glad you brought up about soul, because you've had some wonderful, do we have a caller at this time? Hello? Okay. Forgive me. But anyway, I really appreciate you bringing up about the soul here, because here you've got, we are being nudged by the soul to stop and say, hey, is there another way of living and being? Many people are waking up fast, whether they are conscious of it or not, and our souls are calling us to take stock, reassess, take time to reflect and be still. We cannot connect with our own truth when we are constantly caught up in the game of doing. In stillness, we connect with who we are. And I thought, wow. And it's interesting, because even for me, it was extremely refreshing to read your words. And it helped me even... propelled me to even think at an even deeper level. And it's really interesting, because I know these things. And today, with all the shifts we're going through and where we're headed, a lot of people need to really connect with the soul, with being still. I know my soul for the past couple of years have really been asking me to get back to simplicity. And I would love to hear your further thoughts on it.
Well, it's true, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of funny. We came into this reality right now, and if you look at society, Western society as an example, we're running around, we're working, we're trying to pay the bills, we've become a slave to time, linear time, and we've become a slave to everything in our external reality, whether it's looking after the kids, paying the mortgage, getting to work, etc. And everyone is on this treadmill, and it's the economic model of economic rationalism treadmill. So we can't go back to the days of the Lakota Indians and live off the land in a nice harmonious tribe, which would be beautiful, and I'm sure that many of us are creating that. We've created this horrendous system of work where people value you based on your education, what contribution you can make to the economic system in terms of generating money and income. So we've actually created a monster, and I call it the monster of the corporate monster and the economic rationalist monster. And many of us are saying, I don't know how I'm going to keep up with this. You know, we have societies that don't look after the sick or the poor or the ill. And people are in a constant state of fear and anxiety, and their adrenal glands are overworked. And we've got chronic illness and chronic stress and everything else. So, and we also have the outermost point of separation, so that the corporate model has destroyed families. Most of us, well, many of us don't even have family members that we get on well with. And so we are totally separate. And if we get caught up in all that, we lose who we are. And you need to stop. And as I said in the newsletter, people don't know how to be with themselves. Like if you sat on a couch and did nothing for 2 hours, could you sit there and be with yourself and be in a state of blissfulness, which is who you truly are at the high level, or would you be in a state of restlessness, frustration, whatever it will be? So it's about...
Let me ask you this, Fiona, if I may. When the angels, archangels, share getting back to the basics, or our soul is crying out for all of us to simplify things around us, what do they truly mean by that? Are they asking us to be more still, and taking time out at least an hour a day? And then we can get on with you know, our everyday responsibilities. So how does that show up in our lives?
Now, it will be unique for every individual. One thing is breathing, learning how to breathe correctly. If you do even breathing, learning to relaxation breath work techniques so that you can breathe correctly as a spiritual being, and that starts, I won't go into the how-tos on that, but that's a huge change because it balances your right and left hemisphere of your brain, starts to balance the body. So even learning correct breathing techniques can make a change to your daily life and your outlook. Getting rid of the stuff that's not absolutely necessary, getting rid of the stuff that you don't like doing. It all gets back, Leilani, to all these obligations we feel that we have. How many things do we do because we'll feel guilty if we don't do them? You know, that's
yes.
Guilt and shame and blame and
that.
All these emotions.
Oh,
you know,
yes,
how many of us are controlled by guilt?
I've gotten so busy sometimes that, you know, I would look up and, you know, weeks have gone by. And, you know, I sit and I ponder, and I go, my goodness, I know Father God didn't truly intend for us to be this way or to live this way. And I know that we all individually, collectively as a whole, have the power to really take and examine our lives, the things that we choose to interact with, that may be serving us at this time for our highest good, but letting this part go. And I always ask myself a very important question. Does this person, place, or situation enhance who I am? And if I have to say no, then I need to move on.
Yeah, a lot of people have trouble saying no.
Yes, and it's not to say that I haven't had those moments where, you know, I was spinning my wheels and you know, frustrated and, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? But I know that the importance of simplifying our lives, simplifying, if there's an easier way of going about, and I really appreciated when you shared your thoughts on that within this newsletter, about getting back to the basics, examining everything around us. And this is one of why this show is so important to me as well, is because you've really done a profound job on really explaining a lot of areas that, you know, we've had discussions on, you know, like judgment, for instance. You know, we can have a lot of different opinions, but do we necessarily know what that might look like in our lives and on all the different levels that we can judge and so forth? And one of the things that I really liked is you talk even about the ego. And here it says, It is the ego which believes, and it is our soul who knows. Wow.
Yeah, I talk about that throughout both my books, the weight loss book and the thoughts book that I've written on my website. And I talk in detail throughout those books. So for listeners, you can download the intro to both those books. And the Olympian's Guide to Weight Loss book is suitable for anybody who is interested in healing emotional wounds, healing anger, healing grief, healing conflict, addictive behavior, all those things. I mean, the theme is weight loss, but the techniques and emotional intelligence healing techniques in that book are suitable for all types of healing and understanding consciousness. So if you want to understand consciousness, that book has all of this stuff in there. So I talk about the soul knows. It is the ego who believes. Like, say, for example, you speak to somebody who doesn't believe in spirituality or God, and they're not interested, for example. So they would say, I don't believe in God, for example, or I don't believe in divine love and all of these airy-fairy things that metaphysical counselors talk about. So I say, you either know God or your mind seeks God. When you know God, you know divine love. You know, so when you know God, you know yourself. Does that make sense? So your soul knows,
yes.
You know, when you have that absolute knowingness in your heart about an intuition or something that you need to do in your life, it's your soul self. It's, you have this innate knowing. You just know it, you know. And so often the rational mind will get in the way and argue over it and analyze it and tear it apart, but you just know. And that's called spiritual intuition or knowingness. It's the ego that believes, so it's the soul that knows.
And it's really interesting because here you say most people have become slaves to their own ego mind, which consistently seeks to distract, to avoid feeling and being with self.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. We are not our mind, Leilani. You know, the lower rational mind of the ego that most people have, we have all these thought programs, for example. You know, people have this chatter, these voices in their head, they're constantly chatting to themselves, constantly passing judgment on others. You know, there's this constant analysis. You know, people who stay up all night because they just got too many thoughts going on in their head, they can't sleep. They're all like these little software programs in their own consciousness. We are not our minds. Mind, the function of mind to be able to compare, analyze, assess, judge, survive in this physical world, etc. The function of mind is a function of consciousness. When we are pure divine oneness, we are not in a state of thinking. We are pure, we are very still and we are one. And we are an observer of our own mind. You see what I mean? If you draw a triangle out on a piece of paper and at the top of the triangle you have divine love, and I call this the point of object, you are, an observer. And if you look down at one end of the triangle, you've got a positive sign, and at the other bottom end of the triangle you have a negative sign. You have all the negative things you're making judgments about. You have all the positive things. You have the world of duality. But at the top of the triangle, you can go above your mind and look down and start to observe your thoughts, observe your feelings. Now, the thing with feelings is feelings are everything. If someone says to you, ignore your feelings, don't get angry, just get over it, just meditate and avoid your feelings, bingo, alarm bells going off, absolutely not. So I talk about that in my books in huge detail. We are our feelings. And our soul, whether it's the ego, lower aspect of self that's in crisis, or the soul, our feelings are our guide on what we need to do.
Hold on Fiona, I apologize for interjecting. We do have a caller, and I'd like to welcome Rebecca from San Jose onto the show. Welcome, Rebecca. Hello? Hello? Oh, maybe we have lost her. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hi, Rebecca. Aloha. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be on the show. Two things I wanted to comment on. One was there's that perception that everything outside of us is a reflection of us, and I liked what was being talked about that, and this is the way I interpret it, was sometimes it's there for us to learn how to not judge rather than being a part of us. Does that make sense? Like, if I run across somebody who happens to be a murderer, that doesn't mean I am. You know what I mean? Some people cross our paths.
Yeah, exactly.
That is just nice to hear that, because sometimes I think that everything is a reflection of me, meaning that it's something that I always need to work on. Next thing.
Rebecca, you have made a very important point here, and I think what you are saying is true. If we try and be this oneness being that we're told that everything is a pure reflection of self,
right.
So at the highest level of being it is. However, we are all souls playing this game of dark and light, and it is an impossibility to say that all these other aspects are a part of me when we're playing this game, because it's very tricky. In other words, you can't take responsibility for the murderer's actions. Because he is not you. He's a soul playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, and I can't tell you how great that feels. Because from the third dimension, part of it, it's like, wow, you're drawing that into you. Everybody's a mirror of you. And it's just nice to know that that's just part of the way the game plays at the 3D level. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and if you go to the highest level, you're a soul playing this game.
Mm-hmm.
This is God's game of dark and light. It's called the Lucifer experiment on Earth at the moment. And it is the impossibility to take responsibility for everybody else's actions.
Or that it,
you learn about yourself in the game.
Right, or that's happened, or that happens to be who we are. It's just something that's blocked. Like, I don't feel like I'm an experienced being a murderer in this lifetime, even though I may cross paths with the person that is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree with you. And the thing is, you're not a murderer. The fact is, you might have played that game in another life somewhere, and that doesn't matter. But you understand the game of dark and light, and there are souls that have chosen to play the game of darkness or pain, and there are souls that are here to hold the light. But, yeah, if we constantly try and take responsibility for this entire game in that we're playing God, for example.
Mm-hmm.
We are not God. We are individual souls, many of us aligned with God, the light workers and so forth, and God is a creator being,
mm-hmm.
you see, and then there's the universe, and then there's all these other universes. And if we merge back to oneness, we are oneness. But you are not God, and I am not God. So we are an aspect of the whole. But
right.
At the moment, there is a hierarchy. There is a spiritual hierarchy. This took me so long to understand. Because I got confused by Q. I was going around feeling responsible for everything all the time in despair because my soul wanted to change this game and, heal people.
Who we are. And I like the part you said that could have been a past experience I had. And I guess maybe taking that a little further, if I do cross my paths cross with somebody, and I'm using murderer to the extreme, might be then for me to have love and compassion towards that person or non-judgment?
Yeah, I mean, what you're doing, it doesn't mean you condone his behavior, but you understand that soul is playing that game. And it's like when Christ said, they know not what they do. You know what I mean? So the murderer is acting out his anger and revenge or whatever he's doing by harming another individual, and he doesn't understand that, that's a horrific act to carry out. causes pain to others. And
Diana,
what you do to others, you do yourself.
Does this also fit into judgment as well? Because there's that fine line where we can, you know, if we truly understand what an observer is, you know, standing back and observing what's in front of us, and I can feel where at some level we could cross over into a judgment through that observation. And does that make sense, Rebecca?
Yes, it does. One maybe a little bit clearer way of saying it is that everybody is a reflection of us, and I guess at the most highest level that is. But we can't, I mean, pretty soon I'm looking at everybody feeling like, oh my gosh, I have all these aspects, and you become overwhelmed. You have to forget it.
You have to let go at that level because it is overwhelming. And the fact is that there are so many levels of creation that, yes, it is true we are one. You know, and then you have these people that say, well, everything is an illusion in this level. And the fact is that it is a holographic illusion, but it is very real. And it is a real planet. We are real physical beings. We're divine souls. This is real. It's a real game of experience. So, you know, that annoys me when people say, oh, it's just an illusion. Get over it.
Right.
The fact is that we have experience. It's an emotional experience, and it's real. And our soul can feel pain, absolutely. And so we came here to experience this in 3D and forget who we were. So, yes, if you try and take responsibility and walk around the streets and go, well, that murder is just an aspect of me, the fact is that, yes, at the highest level, but let's get real here, he's not an aspect of you right now. Only you can do is have love and compassion for him and go, I don't agree with what he does. Because there still has to be some sense of justice here around what's going to be behavior that's condoned or behavior that's accepted in our society. So we still have to get real about it. You know what I mean?
Yes, and that what you said that really resonates was, that is not an aspect of me now. I really like the way you put that.
No, it's not an aspect of you now.
The next thing that I wanted to say is, it's kind of, is it the chicken or the egg theory? I have physical things around me that I need to get rid of to cut the emotional and materialistic ties to, yet I'm so drained by having them around, it's like I'm almost too drained to get rid of them. Does that make sense? It's kind of going around in a circle.
What have you got that you're trying to get rid of?
Oh, I got a bunch of stuff left over from a previous marriage. And so...
Oh, you mean your own emotions and pain and feelings, etc.?
Right, about how these were accumulated and how it put us in debt and, you know, what's the most financially successful way to get rid of them? Do you sell them online? Do you donate them? You know, and it's almost like just being paralyzed as to what do you do? So the stuff around you is keeping you, you're keeping your energy down. So your energy's down, so you can't make a decision on what to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because you're associating your identity with those objects.
Right.
Because you're not those objects.
Yeah. How do you get the energy to get rid of them? That's what I guess I'm saying.
All right. Well, I mean, there is some good points in my weight loss book around trying to transform emotional attachments and connections and so forth and psychic cords and all of those things. There's some great tips in the book about how to do that.
Oh, great. I just tuned in, so I didn't hear that. Could you repeat what your book was or your website?
Yeah, the website is Barakaya, which is BarakaYa.com.
Okay.
Barakaya.com, or you type in FionaTaylor.com and you'll get my website. And there's the book on there, Olympian's Guide to Weight Loss. And you can download the intro for free, and the book's only $19.95. You can download that pretty simply. There's a huge amount in that book. It's really a book on healing all of this stuff.
Oh, great. Okay.
And there's a lot of articles on my site. So you can read a lot of the articles on my website, understand the law of abundance, which has been bastardized by many. Sorry, I shouldn't really swear, but it has been misconstrued by many in the metaphysical movement. There's a huge article on that. Law of polarity, law of duality. And I think a lot of your questions will be answered with those articles on my site.
Oh, that's so wonderful. I really appreciate that. I tuned in to the middle of this show, and so I missed all of that information at the intro. So I appreciate you repeating that. Okay, well,
that's
I will
okay.
check out your website, and thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you for Rebecca for calling in, and
okay.
many blessings to you. Have a good night. And if I may, Fiona, if you would go ahead and give your titles of your books again and your website for all the listeners, I would really appreciate it. And for all the listeners, you are welcomed, and I do invite you to go on to my show page. I have a wealth of information about Fiona Taylor and the work she is doing. And believe me, when you start reading and her information, it's just profound. And I'm hoping that we can get Fiona to come back onto the show. I just believe that there was so much to discuss, and we just didn't have sufficient time, I feel, to really bring forth a lot of very powerful information. So if you, Fiona.
Sorry, Leanna, you cut out the last sentence there.
Oh, I apologize. Go ahead, if you would, and share your titles of your books along with your website again.
My website is called barakaya.com, which is BarakaYa.com. Or you can type in FionaTaylor.com, and you'll find my website. I have two books, An Olympian's Guide to Weight Loss, as I said earlier. It's suitable for anyone wanting to understand metaphysics, emotional healing, emotional and spiritual intelligence. There's some great spiritual clearing techniques in that book, and you'll understand the world of duality and the mind and how the mind works. There's a Spirit and Sport book about high performance and winning in sport. So anyone interested in high performance or sport or elite sport, Spirit and Sport is on my website as well. And there's several articles on the site, so if you read them, they may answer some of your questions on what we've talked about this evening.
Thank you, Fiona. I'd like to share this with the listeners this evening as well. It says here, do not be concerned about the how or the solution to any problems. Simply start to create your own vision of what you really want to see happen on the planet and what you want to create for your own life. Stop trying to solve problems. Visualize the ideal outcome and hold it. The solution will then present itself. Oh, I could just keep you for hours on this show, Fiona. I'm just amazed. I will be visiting your website quite frequently. And I'd like to know, do you have any special events, or are you here in the United States? Do you have any plans coming?
I'm looking at coming to the U.S. to do a tour, workshop tour, in about March, April next year. So I will be coming to the U.S. I'd love to come to Arizona, and I'm going to go to Seattle and some other venues around the States. So, yeah, I will just keep track of my website, the events calendar on there, and that will inform you. And you can sign up for my free newsletter. You can always shoot me an email and say, hi, I want you to come and do a seminar for me. That would be great, and I will.
I will by the way. I'm going to hold you to it, Fiona. I think you're profound. Yes, because I will be having events in the near future. You probably picked up on that. And I would love to have you very present with us. Before we have to say goodnight to you, I'd like if you would share more about Fiona and your spiritual gifts as well with all the listeners tonight.
As a child, I had clairsentience, and clairsentience is where you feel communication. And I had some clairaudience as well as a child. I remember communicating with my grandmother who had passed over, and the archangels as a kid. And then by the age of 9 or 10, I lost those gifts. you know, and they really didn't return back. My clairaudience and clairvoyance returned back in full a few years ago, and my clairsentience has always been there, but I thought everybody was clairsentient, you see, because it was just who I was. I assumed that everybody had those special gifts. I didn't think anybody
I understand
was different.
Yes, and so, you are indeed a very unique young lady, and I am so honored to have had this opportunity to meet with you, and I would love to have you back on the show, and you know, what I'd really like to do is have a two-hour broadcast with you, and I know it would just be jammed-packed, and it's interesting because all the listeners that have been tuned into this show have been very still, and I know my listeners well enough to know to say this to you is they have been very tuned in to your words this evening. But I would like to read this real quick, and she says here, we can let go of all the concepts of karma and create a whole new future. Karma is often used to describe the law of cause and effect. Cause and effect is circular. What goes around comes around. What you do to others, you only do to yourself. Karma is only applicable on the lower levels of creation, including the dimensions we currently reside in. We can let go of all karma and create a new vision, a new future. And I truly thank you, Fiona, for being with us tonight, sharing this profound wisdom with all of us this evening. I know I can speak for my listeners as well that have truly enjoyed this show. We look forward to having you again come back and share with us. And on this note, we want to give our guests this evening a warm mahalo for being with us this evening. It is time for us to make soul decisions, not fear-based ego decisions. What is it we truly want to do, create and share with the world? Do we act from love or from fear? You are the masters, the power, and the authority to make changes. So I want to say to each of you tonight, thank you. And may God bless you all and keep you safe. Good night to everyone. It is time for us to make soul decisions, not fear-based soul decisions. What is it we want to do for this and here?
All I want is all